know who you are and live and be who you were created to be in all your uniqueness. I'm passionate about unity. I love it when different churches get together, when people get together, when different generations get together, when families get together. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I'm passionate about God's word and the rock it is and the power it has when we speak it out and even more when we live it out. Now, I'm going to be sharing with you about the promise of peace. I've got a lot of Bible verses in here because as I was reading and preparing, I knew God wants us to have peace and that's his plan and his desire for us. We're not meant to be stressed. We're not meant to be anxious and frazzled how we so often can be. And more as I read, I became so convinced and so excited about the life that he intends us to have. And so bear with me, there will be lots of references in here because I can't say it any better than, God does. I'm going to start with Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, have you ever found yourself, I've got little Coco, 6, 7 months old as of yesterday, and, she's teething. I'm like, oh, I can't wait till we're over this, till, sleeping through the night again. Or do you ever find yourself, I can't wait till, the kids are at school and I have a bit more time, then I can do this and then I can do that? Or do you say, oh, I can't wait till I find that special someone and, we get married and then, you have this kind of life together? Or I can't wait till I retire and then I'll be able to do this and do that with my time? Or I can't wait till I get that promotion at work or move to this place? Or can you not wait until, insert blank, whatever it is that you're waiting for? I want to encourage you to don't wait until that thing. Don't wait until all the stars align to enjoy life. Don't wait until everything is perfect to experience peace and contentment, because that's never going to happen. Let's be realistic, but I'll encourage you that we can have peace amongst all the chaos. We can have peace and contentment. It's good to have goals. It's, okay to have different stages and seasons. But we can have peace and enjoy where we are, on the way to where we're going. And my first encouragement to you is to be present. So to help you remember that, I thought sitting down, being still, is my best visual for help you to remember to be present. That so often we're running around, I've got 3, so I'm often running around chasing them, the world, it's a positive thing to be busy, How are you? Would it be, oh, I'm busy. Oh, that's good. I must be doing a lot of good things if you're busy, if you're rushing around. But my first encouragement to you is to be present. Be here and now. Remember that. Philippians 4:4-7 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. It doesn't say after the situation you will get peace and you will get joy, but it says in every situation, pray, present your request to God, and you will get peace in the situation. You don't have to wait till it's all over to get the peace. You can have it in the situation. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you." And then later on in John 14:25, it says, "I'm telling you these things while I'm still living with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I have told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you. Peace. How cool is that? Like when, you know, God sent Jesus here to embody, you know, himself to, you know, a lot of the teachers, the Pharisees, had gotten it really wrong in, you know, they turned God into religion, into all these rules and things and made it really complicated. But Jesus came to simplify it all, to say, you just got to love God and love others. And, you know, when Jesus was here, so much good stuff happened. But when Jesus left, we went left empty-handed. You know, God gave us his Holy Spirit. He gave us peace. And the thing that, with being present, with enjoying the here and now, sometimes it can be hard because we live too much in the future or too much in the past. And that creates anxiety. Joyce Meyer defines anxiety as, anxiety is caused by trying to mentally and emotionally get into things that are not here yet or things that have already been. So, you know, it's good to, I'm a dreamer, I come up with ideas all the time, and it's not bad to have goals or to plan, but when we spend too much time in our heads, you know, planning for the future or worrying about, oh, what if this happens, what if this happens, and coming up with 50 contingency plans, that's not helpful. That creates anxiety. It robs us of our peace. Or maybe spending too much time in the past. Maybe there's regrets. Maybe there's shame. Maybe there's things that you wish you could have done. And maybe there's hurts that haven't been healed. And when we, or maybe have glory days where you're just, oh, I wish I was back there, you know, back when, you know, I had more time and, you know, before kids maybe, you know, I just was able to do these other things. If we live too much in the future or too much in the past and we're not present, that can also rob us of our peace. Jesus is in the present. You know, the well-being movement talks a lot about mindfulness. And that's not a new thing. Like, meditating and being present is a biblical principle. The Bible talks a lot about it. And Matt 6:34 says, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. And don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when that time comes. So remember, what are you going to do? Be present. My next thing is about peace, is to live in grace. Now, grace, to help you remember grace, I think of the hug sort of symbol, you know. For a couple of things, the arms out, a hug shows grace, it shows forgiveness. The arms out is also, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, his arms were out. And before Jesus came, people, if they'd stuffed up, they had to do a whole lot of rituals and do sacrifices and offerings and things to be made right with God, to have that peace again. But when Jesus came, he was the ultimate sacrifice. He died on the cross, arms outstretched, to give us grace. So we don't have to strive anymore. It's not about works. We just believe. We just accept his grace. You know, and living under grace, it brings liberty. It brings hope, peace, and joy. It's God's promise to us. It's how he intends us to live. You know, before Jesus came, the old covenant was based on striving. It was based on striving and, you know, works. There's a lot of bondage in work. So I have to, you know, do A, B, C, D. I have to keep the Ten Commandments. You know, I have to do this and do that. That's not what it's all about. It's not about being a good person. It's not about, you know, doing all the right things. We just have to believe. Striving steals our joy. It steals our peace and our hope. And in under grace, to live under grace, we need to allow God to help us. We need to listen to him. We need to let go of our pride and that mentality of we have to do it all on our own. You know, we have to keep it all together. We can't ask for help because that's a sign of weakness. You know, some people, you know, think that, you know, independent spirit is a good thing and only ask for help until they're completely exhausted, you know. Do you persist with opening the jar over, you know, refuse, you know, till you get it open? You're not going to ask for help, even in the little things sometimes. We need to let go of our pride and humble ourselves and put our trust and confidence in him, in his power, in his wisdom, in his goodness. If we truly put our faith in God, we are not going to be anxious or stressed. He's got us covered. We'll receive his peace. In John 6:29, it says, Jesus replied, "This is the work that God asks of you, that you believe in the one who he has sent, that you cleave to, that you trust, that you rely, and that you have faith in him." And then 1 Thessalonians, it says, "May God himself, the God who makes everything whole and holy, make you whole and holy. Keep you spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Master Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said he'll do it, he'll do it." So my encouragement to you is let go and let God. You know, God's power is made perfect in our weakness, that he can only move in our situation if we allow him to, if we trust in him, if we hand it over to him, if we stop striving and just be, if we just believe and just trust and live in his grace. My third thing is to look up. So be present. God is our refuge and fortress. Looking up is about perspective, and it's about going to the sacred place. It's about resting in the shadow of his wings. He is our rock. We can confidently trust in him. We need to spend more time in worship and praise and less time planning and scheming and trying to figure it all out. I believe if we worship and we seek God, then he will fight our battles for us. There's some beautiful psalms that talk about this a lot. Psalm 91 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Psalm 42:5 says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." You know, I think the Psalms are a great reminder that, yes, it's not all going to be peachy, you know, when we have God in our life, that we're in an imperfect world. There are still times when we're down. But I think if even in those down times, if we can look up and trust in God and praise him, then he will come and meet us and give us peace. I've shared this before, but it is my best example of looking up. When my mother-in-law, 3 years ago, was dying of cancer and near the end of her days, she loved music, she loved worshipping, and we gathered around her bed and we worshipped for about 1 to 2 hours. We just sang over her, me, my husband, my brother-in-law, and his girlfriend. And it was like 2 days before she passed away. And who feels like singing in tragedy? It's completely unnatural. But we looked up and we worshipped with everything that we had. You know, I'm not the best singer, but I sang my heart out and the others did too. And it was beautiful. Like, you don't have to have a room full of people to feel the presence in God and to be moved. There were four of us in that room. We're in a hospital. We weren't in a beautiful church or anything. And God met us. And he gave us peace and joy beyond anything I've ever experienced before. I've never had drugs, but the high I was on that night, I bet was better than anything out there. That experience, even though I would never wish or, you know, to have been put in that place where someone that I dearly loved was leaving this world, but still going through that and hitting rock bottom and then having God come in and experience something which, was completely unnatural, having his peace and his joy in that circumstance. Peace and joy that can only come from God in his presence was amazing. And I'm grateful that I know that aspect of God for going through that. But, you know, God couldn't give that to us. He couldn't give us his peace or his joy till we first hand the situation to him. You know, if our hands are full of worry, God can't give us his peace until we let go of it, and then we can take the peace and the joy. We have to give it to him first. We have to look up to him. A lot of you have probably heard this before, but Matt 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, in 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." You know, there's so much in the Word about how much God loves us. He wants to. He doesn't want to see us struggling. Yes, we go through struggles, but he wants to take care of us. He says to cast our cares on him. But we first have to stop taking care of ourselves and to give it to him. We have to stop carrying it by ourselves and give it to him. You know, in Isaiah 61, he also promises to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. But again, for him to give us the beauty, we first have to give him the ashes so he can exchange it for beauty. You know, we can, when we do this, I think, you know, I've experienced it, and I can testify that we can enjoy his joy and his rest and his peace that transcends all understanding if we give it to him and if we look up. And in looking up, prayer produces peace. You know, in Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which goes beyond all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, and if we worry, I don't think we're fully trusting God. And Paul says he experiences contentment in all circumstances. He says, "I've learned to be content whatever. If I'm needy or when I have plenty, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation." But I think the key thing there is that he's learned to be content. It's not something that necessarily happens naturally. You don't have to be a peaceful person or a naturally content person, but Paul says, "I've learned what it means to be content." And Elise is going to share a bit more later, a bit more about the practical learning how to have peace, learning how to find that contentment no matter where you're at. So God is everything that we need, I believe. He's our strength, our rock, our fortress, and our living water. So I encourage you, be present, live in grace, and look up. They're my three keys for finding about God's promises of peace. And the living water, God talks about his Holy Spirit being like living water, being given to us, being given to believers after Jesus was gone. It's the Spirit of God in us that gives us peace, joy, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. I know I've drunk from his living waters and I've found supernatural peace. You know, I was brought up knowing about God and I haven't had to search anywhere else. I haven't tried other religions because I've drunk in his living waters and been completely satisfied. I've found peace, joy, and hope in an imperfect world. Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water, welling up to eternal life." So true peace that will satisfy our soul's thirst once and for all is only found in God. It's only found in Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So be present, live in grace, and look up. You know, that's God's will for us. He really does want us to have peace. It's his promise to us. We need to pursue it and believe it and stand on it, even when the waters around us are raging and torrenting. You know, he is our rock. We can stand. We're not, you know, if your life is built on God, it's not like if you're built on sand, that it's, your foundations aren't going to get washed away. If you're standing on him, he is our rock, and he will never fail us.